Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, one and all, to More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. We welcome you tonight. We welcome you to Sister Girl Network, Inc. platform, ordained by God to meet our sister girls and brother men where they are in their lives and spirituality. This platform is about healing from the inside out. It's about truth, being led by the Holy Spirit to all truth. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Tonight, our topic is, how do we endure to the end in faith and truth? This is part two. And part two is according to the will of God and our Father. We thank God for this topic. We thank God for each and every one of you. We invite you to dial in at 213-943-3551, or you can link in through the internet at blogtalkradio.com/more insight. Let us acknowledge our Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. Oh, Lord, we come to your throne on tonight with a humble heart. Hallelujah. Lord, we say, have your way. Oh, Father, download your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, we honor, and we praise you because you are all things to us. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. You are Abba, our Father, our Prince of Peace. Oh, Father, you are all things to us. You are the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. And, Father, we thank you. We honor and we praise you. Oh, Lord, we ask that you cleanse our hearts and renew a right spirit in us. Oh, Father, we ask that you download divine knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Oh, Father, you say we have not because we ask not. And so tonight, Lord, we're asking for you to reveal ever the more. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we humble ourselves. Hallelujah. We invite you to purge, to cleanse, to reveal, to do all you need to do, Father. Oh, Father, we desire to be in your presence. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we ask that you touch every word that will come forth. Hallelujah. Touch the ears that's hearing. Hallelujah. Send forth your warning angels into the atmosphere. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Jesus from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. We plead the blood of Jesus over our atmosphere in the name of Jesus, over our technology. In the name of Jesus, we call forth the war angels of the Father to war in the seen and the unseen. I call forth my angel to shield and protect me in the seen and the unseen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, one and all, for joining us tonight on More Insight. I'm your host, Angela Dean. Tonight we are on part two of how do we endure to the end in faith and truth. And what is added to our part two? According to the will of God in our Father. Oh, we are in a season. We're in a tough season. We're in a trying season. We're in a testing season. We're in a season of revealing. For the war has started to divide and divide. See, when you divide something, you can devour it. You can destroy it. And that's where we're at in this warfare. And we all feel it. We all feel the pressure. We feel the fear taxes. We feel all the anxiety, all the stress that's going on with this pandemic. You know, God can take anything that was intended for evil and turn it to good. And then one of the things they're trying to get us, that they want to get rid of those masks. Oh, I'm trying to tell you, because it's interfering with face recognition. See, it's interfering with these drones that you are not seeing, but I'm telling you, woo, when I tell you they out there, it's interfering with that. So they want to get rid of those masks, but God. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are embarking on a new year, 2022. When we think about a new year, we can have some anxiety. There can be some excitement. Our expectation can be overwhelming. We can think about things we want to change or should change. And we have to face hard truths. We must get to the point in our journey that it's time out for childish things, right? The Word of God tells us that. It talks about us maturing, growing spiritually. As we are spiritually awakened through the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit leads us to all truth, it leads us to all truth, truth from the beginning, because everything has a beginning. Everything has a beginning. Galatians 1, 3 through 4, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world accordingly to the will of God and our Father, to whom be the glory forever, ever. Amen. When we think about God's will, there can be some struggles there, right? Because, see, the first thing the enemy say to you, well, was it God's will for you to be raped? Was it God's will for you to be abused? Was it God's will for you to be rejected? Was it God's will for you to be abandoned? Was it God's will for you to be hungry? Was it God's will for you to be cold? And that's why we have to understand the world. See, spiritual things connected to worldly things. Understanding who you are in Christ. God has chosen you. John 15:16 tells us, thou have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that thou should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever thou should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. God chose you. See, it goes back to what I just said. Being spiritual awakened, receiving the truth through the Holy Truth, make you understand that verse alone. As a chosen one, a part of the priesthood, God's kingdom, God's chosen people. You get why you're hated. Why the attacks are from you, even from your mother's womb. Even in case of rape, God can turn it for the good. In case of abandonment and rejection, oh, I know about that. God can turn it for good. But everything that goes wrong in our lives, everything bad that happened to us in our growth, in our maturity, we understand to put the principalities on the chop block, to put spiritual wickedness on the chop block, to put the darkness of this world on the chop block. And that God, anything the enemy can do to us to turn our heart away from God, he does. Anyone he can use, he do. Any situation where he can bring our hearts to a place of rejection to truth, to divine, he does. Some things we don't want to even face during this season. But see, it's about us persevering to the end, right? How do we endure to the end? How do we hold on to our faith? How do we deal with truth? This is a season of us being tested. Even when we talk about the jab and we talk about all the procedures and the new rules and all the changes that came about once the pandemic was revealed, but have anything really changed since the jab? No. Let's be truthful, no. But see, even in kingdom, we have to stand firm in truth. We have many that are dealing with so much stress, anxiety, unsure because of the jab. Should I take it? Should I not take it? And I say, you're being tested. Each one of us is being tested in this area. Because even though we're kingdom, we walk individually with God. Our relationship is one-on-one. Then we stand together as kingdom, but we each have to have a personal relationship with the Father. We have so many scriptures that we can relate to dealing with the anxiousness, be anxious for nothing, pray about everything with prayer and supplication, make your request known. But this season tests our knowledge and spiritual and as well as the world. It tests whether we are still in a carnal mindset or spiritual mindset. It tests us in the world as far as do we want to hold on to worldly things. So we, you know, let's be truthful. Sometimes when we have things, certain things, we just don't want to let go. And so are we willing to let go things of the world and trust that we're covered by the blood? It will come a time that it will be said to us, and I'm talking about every ear on this earth, that if you want to shop in my stores, talk about in the world. We was in boot camp. That pandemic shut down. That was boot camp. That was boot camp to separate us from world. That was boot camp. And so when the time come and they say, in order to shop in our stores, in order to eat in our restaurants, in order to travel, use our planes to travel in order to enjoy the things of this world, you must take that jab. What would you choose? Last week, we talked about the mind. We talked about the heart and our mouth. We talked about our weapons of warfare. If we look at this 21st century and just look at when we gave our life to Christ and we was able to go through the emotions and the routines of showing up in at church and going to Bible study and all those things. And so we didn't have to, there was no testing, right? It was all about appearance. The Word of God talks about appearance. It talks to us about wanting to please man more than God. It talks about us understanding that a carnal mindset is an enemy to the Father, because a carnal mindset will never be able to allow God's will over their lives. And so now here we are in the 21st century. And the separation has started. I remember when God gave us the lime and join in the sand. That's where we at. The wheat is being separated from the tares, the goat from the sheep. No longer will man be able to just go through the routines or go through the rituals and all and ride on appearance. Every choice we have made since the pandemic was revealed has shown our heart. Our heart, whether we choose the world or we choose God. Every decision. Matthew 5:6 tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Matthew 5 has the Beatitude. When we think about the hunger and the thirst, it is a stirring up deep in our spirit. It consumes us. See, you was chosen, foreknown, predestined already. That's why we struggle with certain things, because we don't want to answer the call. We feel that stirring going up in us, that thirst and that hunger drawing us, pulling on us. A stirring to go, it goes so deep where we're joined near to the Father for that relationship. So our soul can be touched. The transformation by the renewing of our mind. It is a call from the Holy Spirit. And Matthew tells us, blessed. Blessed means a profound joy that fills you like nothing else. See, when we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we feel joy. We're so distracted from the cares of this world. That's the blessing we get for answering the call to thirst and hunger for righteousness. When we look at Psalms 42:2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When should I come and appear before God? That's what our soul do. It thirsts. Your mind, your emotions, your will, it thirsts. And so you seek. And as you join closer to the Father, the Holy Spirit start leading you to all truth, because you're what? You're opening to it. You're humble for it. You desire it. How do we endure to the end in faith and truth? Our battle is with us. Struggle because we feel that, you know, we want to be in control of things. We was raised by natural parents to make certain decisions to control things. So we, even in our adulthood, we still feel like we have control over everything. Certain things become so planted within us that we don't want to let go of certain things. That's why the Word of God tells us in John 15, this is how we endure to the end. According to the will of God and our Father, John 15 tells us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be ever more fruitful. Ever more fruitful. God already know what needs to be pruned from us. Then 15:3 reads, you are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. It's a surrendering heart. We must surrender. We surrender. We surrender our soul. That means we release what we was taught through the worldly system, through principalities. We release that thing. We surrender. We go as a little child, an innocent child. That's why the world is after the next generation in the way it is, to strip them from their innocence. And that's how we are with the Father. In surrendering, we become like little children, naked, releasing that carnal mindset. And then John 15:4 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. Remain. How do we remain in something? We played sports. Some of us growing up, that started there. Because as children, when we're into sports or playing instruments or cheering and all those type of things, how do we remain? It becomes so much a part of us, right? We eat it, sleep it, drink it. That's all we think about. We're disciplined in it. We're faithful in it. We're obedient. It's like we're going to do it by any means necessary. Nothing distracts us. We won't eat. We won't sleep. We won't go to no family gatherings. We won't travel. We remain in that sport, playing that instrument. And even as we grow into adult, how do we remain in something? The same way. And that's the same with us as the branches. Remain in the vine. Eat it, sleep it, drink it. Seek it, study in it. By any means necessary. turn away our plate if you have to. Deny a trip. Deny a social event. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. We cannot do this by ourselves. It is the Holy Spirit that lights through us, speak to us, draw others to us. Those that are also chosen. Those that have strayed. Those that are lost. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Remain in me. We endure to the end by abiding in the vine in his word. See, as we read God's word, it should be for what it says, not what we want it to say. Not what we wanted to say. You know, sometimes when we read the word of God, it can, our perspective can interfere with it, right? Let's walk in some truth with this. When we're reading the word of God and we choose a certain scripture or a certain scripture was told to us and we go to it and we have a perspective with it, right? Because we're dealing with something. And so that's why we're in this scripture. We're dealing with something, right? And so sometimes when we go to that scripture, we try to get it to say what we wanted to say. But it's telling you to woo, come on now. Come on now. But then it's telling you something else, right? It's telling you that you need to do some things. It's telling you you need to confess. You need to repent. It's telling you you need to put away. You need to separate. It's telling you you need to pray. You need to fast. It's telling you certain things. And it's probably telling you things that you really don't want to have. I mean, really don't want to do. So we have to even walk in truth with that. We really do. We have to walk in truth. But the fact that sometimes when we're reading the word of God, we wanted to say what we wanted to say. But we should be reading it for what it is saying. Because if we do that, it reads us. It tells us some things about it. We're opening the word of God. We're abiding in the vine, in his word, to what? And to endure to the end. Times are going to get rough and harder. And we must understand why the word of God talks to us about being connected with like-minded people. See, because the struggles that's going on with so many now is the fact that principalities want everybody, every walking being to take that jab. But see, God said we perish because of lack of knowledge. So it's on each one of us to seek the knowledge behind what's in it. What's going on with it? Is it being affected? No, we know it ain't being affected because now it's like, okay, they caught it even though they was fully vaccinated. They caught it, but they not as sick as they would have been. How they know? See, there's so much questions to this. God is not a father of confusion. Oh, it's not going to be easy. But see, we don't have to do it in our own effort. Oh, God said, I have given you the power of authority. Understand your power and authority. You must know who you are. First of all, when God awakened us spiritually, he straight up tell us that he is black. He tell us who we are. Israel, then who the tribe, got 12 tribes. So then when you start reading the word of God, everything shifts. Why? Because now you know who the word of God talking about for real, and talking to. See, everything shifts. How you celebrate all these different holidays. Everything shifts. How you view yourself, everything shifts. The thirst and hunger get so real. And me as a melanated woman, even that shifts in me. Where I researched and looked up melanated, it ain't just our pigment. That's why we get sick and our body deteriorate in a fast pace, is because things that we take into our body affect us because of the melanated. God said, I have created you to heal your own body. That's a special thing you got. I ain't saying you special where you better than nobody else, but you got to understand who you are. You got to know that the lies are to keep you down. You got to know me as a black woman, as a Negro, know that I have history before slavery. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Even to the point of understanding the slavery, that's in the word of God, because our ancestors was disobedient. But see, where God is now, he's pleading for his people. That's why Matthew tells us you will hear war, rumors of war, but I'm telling you these things going to go on. That's just like when we talk about love, we know God is love. And love is a part of us as children of God. But see, God don't say to us that love, because you love or you have love, you would do whatever you want to do because of love. No, no. You even got to know that everything has a beginning. Didn't I say that? Check this book out. It's called Situation Ethics. Situation Ethics. It's by Joseph Flesher. In so many words, Mr. Flesher talked about love. It's okay for you to beat up someone. I'm using paraphrasing that, but in the gist of this book, love covers everything, right? So it's okay for you to do wrong if you're doing it in the name of love. Read it. That's where that came from. Then go back and read Dr. Spock. I don't know the ages of everyone on here, but I know I got some folks in my age. Remember when Dr. Spock's book came out and he said, be your children's friend? Do you know Dr. Spock didn't even have children? And he wrote these books talking about be your children's friend. Don't discipline them. And that's what we see now. Everything has a beginning. That's why Daddy say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, talking about all knowledge. Then you tell us when knowledge is released, the wicked will be more wickedly and the wise will be more wiser. That's what we're seeing now. That's what we're seeing now. This is More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. I invite you to join us by dialing in at 213-943-3551. Or you can link in through the internet at blogtalkradio.com/More Insight. You know, it's hard for us to think of God's will when we try to throw all those other things in it. It always go back to our mind what we believe. Do we believe that God loves us? Do we understand that in this earthly realm, God have given us everything towards spiritual. Ooh, excuse me. God has given us everything to war spiritually because it's the spiritual realm that interrupts this earthly one, right? And so we can't see all the spiritual warfare going on, but we can feel it. We can see it to the point where it's interfering with certain things and all. And so God has given us the weapons to war. That's how much he loves us spiritually. In the earthly realm, war spiritually. That's how much God loves us. That's how much he loves us. Then even when he did that, see, God's will is for us to have the truth, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. God's will is for his chosen ones, for us to abide in him, in his word. God's will is for us to walk in our power, in our authority through the Holy Spirit. God's will. God's will is not for us to be lost or confused. See, each one of us has to make a stand. That's where we at. You hearing it, you seeing it, the war, the unspoken war to divide and conquer, the war of the ones with the jabs and the ones without, the ones with the jabs. Warn against the ones without because they are being led astray and telling them that it's because of us. You know, there's a research site and the government deals with them, scientists called Cayman, like Cayman Island, Cayman Research. Cayman Research. And they talk about this certain ingredient, SM-102, if I'm not mistaken. And on their website, it says, not for human or animal intake. Knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, while you can research this as far as what's in the jab, Lucifer, that's a part of the jab, illuminating type light that attached to one's cell, where they can use some type of light, and you will light up like a Christmas tree. Oh, and don't think that that's far flesh. That ain't no far flesh because that can remember some years ago. Years ago, okay? And I'm talking about at least, might have been about 20 years now. And I can remember my doctor wanted me to take this x-ray. And I never heard of it before. And I had to get this dye. They had to stick me with this dye. And so they put this dye in me. And so they did it in my hand because of my veins and all. And I was adamant. I'm a firm person. I was just a pistol. I stood firm on everything. But God knew how he created me because that's why I could stand firm on what I know is right on today. But anyway, the first time I got this dye, it burned so bad. I had to wait. I think at least 30 minutes or so before I stood in front of this machine. And when I stood in front of the machine, this is how the doctor described it to me. So, of course, I couldn't see it as far as looking at the screen or whatever, but she said, you're going to light up like a cooking tube as nothing would be able to hide any lumps, any scars, whatever. And so when I did it the first time, after I did the test, I felt so bad. You know, I just didn't feel like myself. I had a headache for a couple of days. of course, what do they, that's normal. Ain't nothing normal about that. Okay, right, okay. So the next year, she wanted to do it again. And so I hesitated because of the first time, but then I end up doing it again. And the second time I did it, I mean, the after effects was worse, okay? Not only did I have headaches, but I threw up. And it just didn't feel right for at least almost a month. But, oh, that's normal, Miss Brown. Yeah, just drank plenty of water. What am I saying? When I think about that dye that I allow principality to put in me, because they want to tell me they need to see, being able to see inside me in a way. I think about that in the same way with the luciferns that they're using in these jabs. And if you research that lucifern, research that, how it cleans to your cell and then you illuminate you. It's like 1,000 lights within you. And so what is it doing to you while it's doing that? I'm telling you, when I think about that dye now, oh, my goodness, of course, now, I be like, nah, I ain't doing that. Hey, nah. But then, you know, to think back on how I know it affects me in my everyday life, I did not jump back from it. It's the same thing when you think about it. Then when you look at scripture and it talks about your light of the Holy Spirit and the mark on the mark of God upon you, will that interfere? See, this is a spiritual war. Now, whether we want to believe it or not, it don't matter because it's going to happen. This is prophecy. And so to endure, we got to line up with our personal life to be able to war against this principalities and things to come down. Because if we're half-stepping, if we're, you know, all to the left, not focused, not disciplined, not obedient, not faithful, then we're going to be off the wall. We're going to be out of position because it's not just going to be about us. It's going to be that everyone that's connected to you from generation to generation to come. And just like I had to tell a sister girl, we all got children. So we got to be standing on the wall for the next generation. Us as grown folks, as many as mature, walking in truth about the stress, the anxiety, not just from you, not from you, but those connected to you as adults. This, imagine the children. So as parents, as a body, as the body of Christ, we got to be standing on the wall for them, warm for them. Satan is after them, that generation. Why you see all the perversion, all the lustful stuff going on, the wrong being called right, is on us as the parents, as the aunt, as the grandmothers, as the our fathers, as the uncles, as the grown cousins and our friends. It's on us to stand on the wall for them. It is on us to pass down the wisdom. And if we're not lined up, we will be held accountable. The word of God tells us that we are to pass down to the next generation. And what are you passing down to the next generation? That it's okay to get along, to be alone? Oh, what are you passing down to the next generation? Stress, anxiety, train them up. Oh, what are you passing down? What are you passing down? Each one of us want to persevere to the end. But in truth, we know we have to endure some things to the end. We connect to like-minded people. We stay connected. Yeah, see, I can share my faith with you. You can share your faith with me. We strengthen one another. Walk not in shame, whatever your choice is with the jab. You should not walk in shame with it. We don't have to broadcast anything. But we walk in shame about nothing. I choose God. I choose the Father. I don't choose this world. Oh. World cannot keep my soul. The world cannot save my soul. What do the world do to our soul? Our mind, our will, and our emotion. It abuses it. It uses it. It tamper over it. What do God do to our soul? He transformed it. He download wisdom, knowledge, and understanding upon it. He grounds it, make it grounded, give it peace, give it joy, fill it with hope. I weep for brothers and sisters. I weep for the next generation, for the children that don't have no one standing with them. You have children that they will stand and tell you, I ain't taking that. They will. But then who's standing with them? But then you got those who stand there and they have those parents or someone around them standing with them, strengthening them, building them up. Oh, because that's the generation. Satan's scared of that generation. Oh, yes, he is. He's scared of that generation. He's scared of it. Oh, but I stand on the wall for that generation. That generation where the young boys, back in the day, how the young boys was taught in their DNA to be logical thinkers. That's why Satan's scared of that generation. And back in the day, when the little girls was taught, they was taught to speak in truth. They was taught to have confidence in their stuff. They was taught the things of God. They knew all. That's why I say I'm scared of that generation. You think he after that generation for nothing, trying to steal their innocence? We supposed to be protecting. We cannot protect that generation if we all over the place. According to the will of God and our Father, we have to line up. We have to get on the wall. We can't be shushing stuff off. We got to ask God to increase our discernment. We got to test every spirit, question every spirit, question everything. Everything come our way ain't a blessing. God chose us before the foundation of the world. When you think about that, just think about that for a minute. God chose you. He foreknew you. He predestined you. God did. God chose us before the foundation of the world. God the Father chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Ephesians 1:4. The Father also in love predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. 5, Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Some might have this election, this idea of election, choosing or predestined can be confusing. They are mistakenly not taught by Paul. See, the Word of God tells us if we was chosen, that means already before we was in our mother womb. See, we're spiritual beings before we become flesh. God is spirit. That's our born again spirit pulling us from a worldly, sinful life, reconnecting to our Creator. And so first we're spirit. And so now we're in our mother womb, flesh. So we enter into this wicked world. But when we give our life to Christ, we're born again, reconnected to the Spirit. So already, before you was in your mother womb, God chose you. Before he foreknew you, predestined you, right? But then we grow up and we taught certain things and go to school and, you know, we get our education and we decide what we want to do in life and all. But even during our journey, we get tugs. We get little tugs in our spirit. Even though we don't know, and some of us early in our life, we have visions and dreams and we don't fully understand everything. God give us some understanding here and there, not to spook us. Thank you, Jesus. But then we fight against that because I want to do what I want to do. And sometimes we can find our life in a bowl of chaos because we're fighting against the prick, because we don't want to answer the call. All are called, but few are chosen. Those who answer the call. See, a call, the call is to be servants unto God. The call is to be able to bear fruit by abiding in the vine. The call is the Heavenly Father, the Creator, calling back his sons and his daughters to reconnect with him. Awaken them spiritually for them to understand this world we live in, to understand them. God's will be done whether we agree to it or not. Whether we agree to it or not, God's will be done. Jesus chose his 12 apostles and trained them to know God's way. He chose them. They didn't choose him. He chose them. And they surrendered. Now let's look at, even if you look at their life, did they surrender and being perfect? Oh, no. Did they surrender and did no wrong? They did certain things and Jesus would correct them in it. To the point where Jesus said, Peter, when your faith becomes strong, Jesus even knew his faith wasn't strong yet. He said, Peter, when your faith becomes strong, I need you to pass it down to your brothers. See, God foreknew him. Foreknew him. They was chosen. Foreknew and predestined. They was fishermen doing their thing. But God chose each one of them. They was already predestined. So it's not surrendering where we become these perfect people that don't fall short. But see, it comes in our surrender. It touches our heart. It's a heart change. It's a heart change. Your heart are turned into flesh. God takes the stone heart and turns into flesh, that hard heart, that heart that wants to hold grudges, that heart that don't want to forgive, that heart that struggle with the tit for tat, that heart that deals with envy and jealousy, that covering heart. See, even when we look at man and the word God tells us, you know, put your trust in me. That's what the Lord say, not man. See, we have to even grow to maturity to understand that. It goes back to when Paul tells us to test every spirit. See, everybody that smile at us, everybody that even say praise to the Lord and hallelujah to us, don't have good intentions. Evil can be subdued. Look at the world we live in, to the point that so many, even I'm talking about those in the kingdom, don't even believe in spiritual things. But the world do. You look at the TV lately? The witchcraft they putting in shows like it's entertainment. It's real. It's real. So I end with this, sister girl and brother man. For there will be a part three. We're coming up on the new year, and so we're going to stay with this topic. We're going to stay with this topic. You know, in life, in my journey, I have learned everyone don't move in the same way, at the same pace. But I also learned in my surrendering unto the Holy Father, surrendering my all, soul, heart, and body. It is according to his will how everything moves in our life. We fight against the threat because we want to do what we want to do. Even in the season that we're in, we want to pretend like things back like they once was. We can either endure to the end and sugarcoating, patting and stroking evil. We cannot endure to the end, not willing to walk in truth, not willing to surrender our heart and all to the Father. We won't be able to endure to the end. I'll leave you with this scripture. And it's the same one I read last week. Hebrews 10:35-39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10:35-39. How do we endure to the end in truth? This was part two, according to the will of God in our Father. I thank God for the words that have came forth. I walk in faith that every ear came to hear, receive what they need, to thirst and hunger after righteousness, to draw near to the Father as he draws to you, to understand what it means that you have not chosen him, but he has chosen you. So thank you for joining us tonight on More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. As always, may God continue to bless you, strengthen you, and encourage you. I plead the blood of Jesus over your life, over each and every one that's connected to you. I plead the blood of Jesus over every decision you make in this season. Every decision you make in this season. May you thirst and hunger ever the more. We are in times, and the war is to divide. And divide and conquer. We must be standing firm, abiding in the vine, in the word, to endure to the end. May God bless you again. Good night. Thank you for joining us tonight. Sister, girl, and brother, man, be encouraged. Good night. God bless.
Good night.